Our scripture this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and then from Isaiah 43. You'll find it on the screen. Follow along. Today's version is the New Living Testament. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 13. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. From Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 5. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you were precious to me. You are honored, and I love you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will gather you and your children from east to west. For the past 2.5 weeks, as I've been driving in and out of this parking lot, I have seen this carnage. Seeing what's left as the houses have been taken, removed for the necessary project of road expansion. The ugly remains are naked and scarred foundations where fine homes once stood. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying this morning, making a political statement. I am not talking about the values or the problems of necessary infrastructure changes or economic development in our community. And there are times when such things must happen when a larger picture is taken into consideration. But I want to acknowledge that even so, for those whose lives are directly impacted, it is a terrible, painful thing. And we can't pretend it isn't. There's so many mixed feelings as we listen to those whose lives have been shaped in those buildings. That are just buildings, they say, yes. But homes where memories are made. Feelings of sadness and loss, deep regret, impotent anger at the inability to change and stop those changes, anxiety, even fear of wondering where we'll go, what will we do? But we need to remember that pain isn't unique to us. It's happened in every generation. Every generation has known loss. Some by similar mandated improvements, others by natural disasters like tornadoes and hurricanes, the winds that blew yesterday, volcanic eruptions, tsunamis, floods, all of which have killed millions over the generations, leaving many people without anything. Some have been caused by the violence of people against other people with disregard for the worth of human life. Others because we somehow got in the way of Mother Nature. Cities and even civilizations throughout history have been destroyed and lost for all time. Nearly 10 years ago, Joyce and I had the privilege of going to tour the Holy Land, and there as we saw all those sites that helped make those stories in the Bible become even more real to us, we also had a chance to take a tour of some ongoing archaeological excavations as they were exposing to the world once again hidden, lost cities, with trowel by trowel taking tons of dirt and silt and rock away to leave exposed what used to be We saw jagged courses of walls left on top of foundation stones. It looked almost like giant teeth coming out of a giant jaw in some places. Just the remains of what used to be. In some places, cities and temples were rebuilt upon their own foundations. There are some places that were so strategic in their location that they were, well, in one case, Megiddo, it was rebuilt 14 different times after the generations when it was destroyed or there was loss, 14 times in 4,000 years, building upon the primary foundations to start again. Buildings were toppled, cities destroyed, shaken to their very foundations, leaving only the eroded ruins for curious onlookers like us to take pictures of and wonder about. But among all those lost places, we also walked through vibrant cities that were more than 3,000 years old and still servicing the people. And I wonder, what makes the difference? Why do some last and others are lost? Was it the fault of the foundations? Well, in some cases, I'm sure it was. When natural disaster strikes, some foundations fail. But sometimes the foundations are well built. Sometimes it's the ground beneath that shakes, that shifts and gives way, taking everything above with it. Have you ever been in a major natural disaster? I don't mean the way the earth shrugs around here in our part of the country. You know, it'll shake our dishes and make our windows rattle and take a picture and do this. Normally not much more than that. But something that's devastating. Tornadoes of yesteryear have come through this part of the country. Other earthquakes that we can think of in last year in Nepal, earthquake taking 8,000 lives. Earthquakes in China a few years ago, Haiti, 2010, took 160,000 lives, and the list of disasters goes on. I've never been through one of those, thank God. But I've read the testimonies of some who have, and I've heard of how they tried to find safety, some sheltering in place, which is always our first go-to today. Of course, our buildings are built in a much different way than some others. But many going outside, away from any structures so as not to be hit by falling debris. But they said even then, in those quakings, the ground itself was split open and people were lost. And there was something called soil liquefaction. You may have known this before I looked at this. I didn't know it myself. Soil liquefaction, that during the shakings of the earthquake, the soil becomes almost like quicksand, liquefied, and huge buildings are dropped down 3 or 4 feet and canted before this ground settles and the shaking stops. They're left that way, ruined permanently. Not because of bad foundation, but because that on which they stood, the ground itself, gave way. Can you imagine that kind of fear? I mean, where do you go when the earth itself shakes? When that which has always been secure shifts under your feet? If the ground itself isn't safe, what do we have? There are other earthquakes that we experience that have nothing to do with tectonic plates. Other disasters that don't come because the winds blow. Those that don't rattle the windows. But the quakings are real nonetheless. In the scripture this morning from Isaiah 43, God speaks to the people and to us, and God is recognizing there very clearly that there are shakings that come into our lives. He says things like, when you go through deep water, when you go through rivers of difficulty, when you go through fires of oppression, when you are enslaved by fear. Notice none of those say if. They all say when. God's saying these things will happen in our lives, and none of us is immune. Do you know those experiences? Have you ever gone through the deep water? Had to navigate rivers of difficulty? You pass through fires of oppression where stop, drop, and roll won't do you any good? You've been a slave to fear, where you've determined you would focus on something, anything else, but you couldn't because all you could think about was how frightened you were. This morning, there are people who will sit in these seats in one service or another who feel the quakings, the shakings of our foundations. Many of us caused by what we've seen around the world in the last 2 weeks. Terrorist attacks in Brussels killing 35. The bombing in Pakistan Easter Sunday morning where 67 Christians at Easter worship were killed. Plus attacks we hear nothing about in this country by the media. I went to do some checking and I was physically sickened. In the last month, in March alone, there were, tied to terrorism, 90 incidents in 30 different countries around the world, killing 690 people, wounding thousands more. Terrorists seek to shake our foundations of peace. And we live in fear. And there are people here among us today who know their foundation is being shaken in other ways. Some have lost jobs as companies downsize or relocate. Anybody know anybody who works for Carrier Heating and Air? People here with us today are feeling the shakings that come with the failure of foundations of marriage when vows made for a lifetime are broken. Still others are trembling as their financial security for the future is dissipating because their investment vehicles are taking a hit as the erratic losses and movements in the stock market affect them. Their foundations shake. And there are those among us who are reeling under the shaking that comes when you hear a diagnosis for an illness that changes one's life, threatens one's life, or as we heard this morning, losing someone we love for a lifetime in death. All of us have either been there in the shakings of our lives, are there now, or will be there at some point in the future. Our foundations, our buildings will be shaken. So what do we do when the foundation upon which we've built shakes, threatens to tear down the houses of our lives? How can we protect against vulnerability if we can at all? Or how can we ensure that we'll find a way through? Looking at this scriptures this morning, I think there are several things. First of all, if we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we look at the foundation itself. Upon what firm foundation are we building? Paul writes and says, there is no other foundation that you can build upon, that you can trust in, but Jesus Christ. Anything else will fail. Money won't be secure. Reputations don't last, education, other people and relationships, all are at risk. So the first thing we do is inspect our foundation. Are we really building on our faith in Jesus Christ? And we can kid ourselves if we aren't careful. We all build using assets and assumptions and assurances. We have to be sure that we are seeing clearly what we are assuming and valuing properly what is our asset and hearing assurances from one who can deliver in our lives. And as we build upon Jesus Christ, we have to also be careful that we build with good materials on top of that foundation. Expectations are not always on center. We always expect to have a job. We always expect the pay to be sufficient to be secure. We always expect to have good health And if not, something happens, we ask, why me? As though we could be offended by the universe that we individually got sick. We always expect to have a healthy, loving relationship to count on. Bad things might happen to other people, but it won't happen to me. But sometimes they do. What do we do when the foundations shake? We then turn to Isaiah 43, the scripture this morning from Isaiah, where God speaks. And the image here, if you look at it, as you listen to it, it's almost like I see God taking our faces in his hands and looking us nose to nose, right in the eye, so you can't look away. Look at me, listen to me, hear what I'm saying to you. I created you. I know you. Listen, don't be afraid. Why? Because I've made you mine. I called you by name. I've paid a great price for you. Don't be afraid, because not only have I made you mine, I have given myself to you in relationship. He says, I am the Lord and you are my people. Don't be afraid, because I will not let you fail. In the deep waters, I'll be with you. In the rivers of difficulty, I'll keep you from drowning. In the fires of oppression, you'll not be burned up. The fire will not consume or destroy. Because, and he says it in the scripture, you are precious to me. Do you really believe that you are precious to God? Think about the God who does all that he's done, knows you by name, and you, knowing who you are where nobody else knows you, you're precious to God. When we listen, we believe what he tells us. In that certainty of God's love for us and the promises he makes to us, we find strength and courage to stand and withstand the shaking. Does that mean life's going to be perfect? You know it isn't. Everybody will have the job they want? No, they won't. Or a job at all. But God will be there and help provide to find a way through. He will not leave us alone. Does it mean that a broken marriage will suddenly be healed, that a spouse will have a change of heart and said, I was so mistaken, I'm so sorry, can I come home? Wouldn't it be wonderful if that were the case? But even if it isn't the case, God will be there in the midst of your loneliness and brokenness. Or if all illness were to end, but it doesn't. The doctor isn't likely going to call and say, oops, I read the wrong chart. No matter what you may believe based upon soap operas and movies, that doesn't happen nearly so often as you think. And yet we pray for healing and we believe for it, and there are times that it comes, but even if it doesn't, God is in the midst of it, giving us the strength. No matter what comes, no matter what the cause of the shaking, we don't go through it alone. In all these things, we know there is no other foundation, no other foundation that can stand. But it's already been laid for us in Jesus Christ. We hear that. We know that. But do we build on it day by day? How firm is your foundation? Let me close this time with a story, then I'll shut up and we'll go to communion, which is more important. Anything I could say. During World War II, when Japan came into China and occupied the country, taking control, they, in the politically correct term, they closed the doors of China to foreign missionaries, deporting all non-nationalists out to their own home countries. What they did in reality was wage a campaign to stamp out Christianity. Japanese soldiers went to the villages in Japan and rounded up all those who called themselves Christians. They found out who they were because neighbor informed upon neighbor out of threat of their own harm if they didn't. In one village, they lined all those who called themselves Christians up side by side in a long, long row, and they gave them all shovels, and they made them all dig, and they were digging each one the section of a long trench. As they dug deeper and deeper, when the trench was finally so deep that it was higher than any of they were tall, the Japanese commander ordered that the shovels be tossed out of the trench. And he gave those who were there in the hole one more chance to denounce their faith or to die for it. No one moved. No one spoke. Then he ordered his soldiers to pick up the shovels and to begin spading back in to that trench, the dirt, covering the feet of those believers, and then the dirt level rising to the shins. And as the dirt rose, a voice from the end of the line broke the silence and began to sing these words: "I'm sure I can do it. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, who unto the Savior for refuge hath fled." And the dirt continued to pour in, and the level began to rise. And other voices began to join theirs with his as the song continued: "Fear not, I am with you. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand." The dirt rose higher to their chests now. Still the song continued: "When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow, for I will be with thee, the troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress." The choir of voices began to muffle now, as some in the trench were shorter than others, and they were fully covered. But still the song continued: "And through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie. My grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine." Then there was silence. Eerie, damning silence. They weren't able to finish the song. So let me read those last words that their hearts sang out, even though their voices could not. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not. I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Friends, our foundations shake in all kinds of ways. Every one which is as legitimate as another as far as the way we take it would never belittle somebody else's shaking. But in the midst of all the shaking that is part of living, there is this confidence we can have that in spite of that which is done to us to the outside, nothing can be done to separate us from God eternally and to give us strength to deal with what happens until then. We share in communion here this morning. I want to invite those who are going to assist me to come forward now, please. as we set the table, if you will. I don't know what foundations are shaking in your life right now. But I know that you're not left alone for the shaking. And if there is something that is causing you struggle, deep waters, rivers of difficulty, fires of oppression, enslavement to fear, you name what it might be, then come and tell him. As you take that bit of communion, come and tell him. And feel his arms embracing you. And saying, the soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake.